Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
In Southern Pines, this is a live look at what's happening. Some folks out there enjoying the weather. Folks may be outside even more in the next several days as our temperatures will climb above records.
And in a show of solidarity, President Biden pays a surprise and historic visit to Ukraine. How Russia is responding.
Also, after a lifetime of service, former President Jimmy Carter is at home with family receiving hospice care. The well wishes pouring in from those who know him and admire him.
After a chilly weekend, our temperatures are on the rise again. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. By Thursday, we will likely see the warmest day of the year so far. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how far above normal our temperatures will go.
You know, it's cloudy out across our viewing area right now. This is a live look at Chapel Hill, and you can see the gray skies. But it's not all about the sunshine. It's mostly about the wind direction. Our wind is coming up out of the south right now, and that's warming up our temperatures. 58 is actually pretty close to our normal high right now, but we're going to go right on past that this afternoon and climb up into the mid-60s. And then from there, we'll continue to warm things up as our southerly flow continues. Look at this. Down to the south, 65 now in Fayetteville and in Clinton. It's 59 in Rocky Mount and 55 in Roxborough. So we're going to see plenty of warmth that streams up through our area over the next several days. It really kicks in by the time we get to Wednesday and Thursday. Both days will likely either tie or break the record. On Thursday, we could be seeing temperatures way above normal and even above the record. 57 is our normal high, so we're above that today by almost 10 degrees. Mid-70s on Tuesday. We'll probably tie the record Wednesday and easily break the record on Thursday. Again, all because of our southerly flow. We'll talk about when we could see a few sprinkles involved as well coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. President Biden made a surprise visit to Ukraine as Russia's war against the country approaches the one-year mark. NBC's Bree Jackson shares Biden's message of support for the Ukrainian people.
President Biden making a surprise trip to Ukraine and meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky in Kyiv as Russia's war against the country nears the one-year mark.
1 year later, Kyiv stands and Ukraine stands. Democracy stands. The Americans stand with you.
The unprecedented visit was months in the making, with details kept very secure and air raid sirens sounding during the president's stay. The president stopping at the Wall of Remembrance to lay a wreath, Mr. Biden noting how much Ukraine has lost in the war and announcing more aid is on the way.
And air defense systems. All defend you to your, defend Ukraine, and that doesn't count the other $500 million we're announcing with you today and tomorrow.
As the violence rages on, White House officials say they've determined Russia has committed war crimes.
We believe that this is a systematic, deliberate effort by the Kremlin.
The U.S. also warns that China may be considering providing lethal aid to Russia.
We make clear to the Chinese that there will be consequences should they make that unfortunate decision.
The Biden administration sending a strong message to other countries.
Remind us that freedom is priceless. It's worth fighting for as long as it takes. And that's how long we're going to be with you, Mr. President, for as long as it takes.
And pledging unwavering support for Ukraine. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
And after their joint news conference, Presidents Biden and Zelensky walked toward St. Michael's Square, where Zelensky showed Biden a special award. Biden's name is inscribed on a plaque in the Alley of Courage that's located in the Constitution Square of Kyiv. The area will include more names of political figures and officials of the partner nations who've supported Ukraine since the Russian invasion.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, President Joe Biden's surprise visit to Ukraine is sparking some anger and embarrassment among many in Russia. Now, we should tell you that the Kremlin has not yet publicly commented on Biden's visit, but the former Russian president did dismiss the trip, accusing the U.S. of warmongering support for Ukraine. Others calling the visit of a U.S. president another symbol of a faltering campaign. Now, Russian President Vladimir
Putin is expected to speak in a conference later today in a national address. Putin is expected to tout the supposed achievements of what he calls a special military operation. He's also expected to launch a renewed offensive in Ukraine in the coming weeks.
Back here at home right now, one of the main streets in Cary is shut down while crews move a historic home to its new location right down the block. The move makes way for a new development downtown. WRL's Matt Tallhelm is live along Academy Street to show us the progress this house is making, inching right along, Matt.
It is, Jeff, inch by inch, literally here. We are right in front of the Maiton Hotel here, if you're familiar with downtown Cary. And right behind me, you can see that house up there on it's a riser as they slowly move. This is the Ivy Ellington House. What they do is they put down some boards and then inch by inch move it on those boards to its new location here where the old library site was, if you are familiar with that. Now, there's been a crowd that's come out here throughout the morning to watch this, and some of them are even set up here on the porch of the Cotton House Brewery. They've got their chairs out, their rocking chairs out watching this because this process is taking so long. This all started around 8:30 this morning. The house itself started about a block up Academy Street. The moving crew will control it with a handheld remote. It's kind of like a video game controller. They slowly rolled the house down the street. They even had to bend back some tree branches in the path. This is a Gothic Revival cottage. It dates back to the 1870s and is one of the oldest homes left standing in Cary. It is moving from Chatham Street, where developers are planning an office building and apartment complex.
It seemed like you have to be down here to see the historical house get moved, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see this.
Ivy Ellington has, you know, significant value to Cary. And in its prior location, it was set back from the road. You couldn't see it very well. Academy Street has very graceful setbacks, and so it's going to be very much more appropriately located.
Now, the town even had to remove some streetlights and signs from the sidewalks along the way to make room for this move. Right now, crews are working to reinstall those. You can see back out here live the work that's being done as they put those boards down and move this inch by inch to that pile of dirt that's behind the fencing there. That's where this house will go. That will be home to the downtown offices for the downtown park that's under construction here. It may even become a visitor center at some point in Cary. This process will take a couple more hours, and so right now, South Academy Street is closed from Waldo Street down to the Cary Arts Center down here, so avoid this area unless you want to come down and watch from behind the construction tape here.
And the Ivy Ellington, a mobile home for now in the next few hours. Matt Tallhelm reporting live in Cary. Matt, thank you. Affordable housing will be the focus of a meeting today in Raleigh. The city's Affordable Housing Bond Executive Subcommittee will talk today about the progress that's being made on the city's $80 million affordable housing bond. City Council approved that spending plan back in 2021. It is being used in stages over the course of 5 years.
A Raleigh man accused of sex crimes with a 7-year-old is due to appear in court this morning. 61-year-old Kenneth Newcomer faces several charges and is in jail on a $1 million bond. Court documents show the crimes date back to 2007. We've learned Newcomer is the husband of a former longtime director of children's ministry for Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on Creedmoor Road in Raleigh. The senior pastor there tells us the church is heartbroken over the news, but that they support the victim coming forward and the legal process. Activists around North Carolina are meeting virtually today to try to stop big changes to the state's pistol purchase permitting system. A bill that passed the state Senate last week would repeal the system that allows for background checks on private gun sales. Republicans who are backing the proposal say the process is antiquated and based on a Jim Crow law. Others worry people with a history of domestic violence or serious mental health problems will be able to get a gun by avoiding a background check. The TSA is seeing a record number of guns at airport checkpoints. After midnight, the agency revealed it seized the highest number of guns yet in 2022, 6,542 of them. That's about 18 guns every day. Experts say most people are not trying to sneak guns through to hurt others. They forget that they have a gun with them. Remember, if you bring your gun through a TSA checkpoint, you can be arrested and be fined thousands of dollars.
Former President Jimmy Carter is at home, surrounded by family and friends as he receives hospice care. The Carter Center says the 98-year-old made the decision after a series of short hospital stays. NBC's Priscilla Thompson is in Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia, where well wishes are pouring in for the former leader.
Across the nation, an outpouring of love for former President Jimmy Carter. After Saturday's announcement, the 98-year-old would begin hospice care at his home. Thousands sharing words of comfort and treasured memories. President Biden tweeting, "We admire you for the strength and humility you have shown in difficult times."
We do lift the Carter family, Lord, to you.
At his beloved church this weekend, where Carter taught Sunday school for decades, prayers of comfort.
We're going to miss him.
To me, he's a friend, and to a lot of us here, he's just a fellow churchgoer.
His hometown, proud of the one-time peanut farmer who became commander-in-chief.
He went to Georgia Tech.
Philip Kurland owns a political memorabilia shop filled with decades of mementos from President Carter's life and career.
What do you think his legacy here in Plains will be?
The Carters have made a real difference for the better.
Elected president in 1976.
I, Jimmy Carter, do solemnly swear.
He served only one term in office before dedicating his life to fighting for peace and human rights around the world.
When the United States won't deal with troubled areas, we go there and we meet with leaders who can bring an end to a conflict.
One cause closest to his heart, Habitat for Humanity, where he helped build more than 4,000 homes. The longest living president in American history, Carter survived cancer in his 80s.
I just thought I had a few weeks left.
Through it all, Rosalynn, his wife of more than 75 years, by his side.
Best thing I ever did was marrying Rosalynn. That's the pinnacle of my life.
Now, as the Carter family holds each other up, the community and the country prepare for what comes next.
It's time for us to carry on his legacy, time for us to try and be good people, help people.
That was Priscilla Thompson reporting. A new addition is coming to the Lincoln Memorial. The National Park Service will build new exhibits under the monument to pay tribute to the monument's civil rights history. It's almost a $70 million project that was first announced in 2016. Visitors will learn about the history of the monument. The memorial is expected to remain open throughout construction. It's expected to be complete in 2026, ahead of the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
If you missed the action at the NHL Stadium Series game, you have another chance today to watch outdoor hockey at Carter-Finley Stadium. This morning, a handful of youth hockey teams hit the ice for open skate. Then at 4 p.m., it's the Carolina Hurricanes alumni game. Tickets are free for that. You do have to pay for parking. It's $10. And then at 7 tonight, the NC State Ice Pack will take on UNC. Tickets for that game are free as well.
Next at noon, frustration for people in northeastern Ohio. The concerns for their health after a train wreck earlier this month spilled toxic chemicals.
Also, Brittany Griner will make a triumphant return to the WNBA. Her journey from a Russian prison camp to getting back on the court.
Plus, some startups are getting money from investors to get their companies off the ground. At 12:30, the new program creating more equity in that process.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
In Ohio, frustrations are mounting after a train carrying hazardous chemicals derailed earlier this month. Many question the impact the crash could have on their health. The CEO of the train company visited the town, but some residents say they are less than satisfied with what they heard. George Solis has their story.
This morning, residents of East Palestine expressing their frustration.
It's a terrible accident. It falls on their shoulders. It's their train.
After Alan Shaw, the CEO of Norfolk Southern, made an unannounced trip to the town.
I've made it very clear. I am terribly sorry for what has happened to this community.
This as fears over air, water, and soil quality in this tight-knit town escalate.
To walk out this morning, it was like I couldn't breathe.
Mike McKim was among a small group of business owners and community members that spoke with the CEO privately.
He was apprehensive about coming here with a bunch of angry people. I'm not afraid to say that it wasn't right.
Security cameras from McKim's newly opened winery captured the nearby fiery derailment. His business now sits empty as customers cancel reservations over health concerns. In an interview with our NBC affiliate, Shaw declined to answer specific questions about cleanup concerns.
So we're being completely transparent, completely collaborative with the Ohio EPA on this.
In a letter to Shaw, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg called for accountability, writing, "The people cannot be forgotten," adding Norfolk Southern must demonstrate that you will not seek to supercharge profits by resisting higher standards. But it comes after a report saying Norfolk Southern pushed against new safety standards for the rail industry. Shaw met with Buttigieg 3 months ago to discuss shared goals over economic growth and infrastructure investments. But in a memo reviewed by the Washington Post, a Transportation Department lawyer said the meeting was an opportunity for Norfolk Southern to raise concerns about a proposed federal rule that would require trains, in most cases, to have two crew members. Federal regulators have argued that two workers could better respond to derailments. The EPA saying there are still no air or water quality concerns, but many residents are still using bottled water, some relying on giveaways like this one. Even so, the future of this town still uncertain.
Yes, you're still worried.
Oh, yeah. How could you not be worried?
That was George Solis reporting. At least four people are recovering from injuries after a freak accident at this water park in New Jersey. State police say a decorative helicopter fell from the ceiling into a pool. The water park was closed for the remainder of the day. There's no word on when it'll reopen. The American Dream Mall released a statement saying safety is their top priority and they're investigating to make sure the water park meets safety regulations. A coffee shop in Arizona closed temporarily after receiving a bomb threat during a drag story hour event. The LGBTQ-owned and friendly business was holding a story hour event hosted by a drag queen. The event drew the attention of the far-right extremist group, the Proud Boys. Officers were already on the scene when the threat was made, and there were no injuries or bombs located. Organizers moved the event to an online platform as a precaution.
The actor best known as Detective Munch on NBC's Law & Order has died. Richard Belzer died at his home in France over the weekend. He was reportedly dealing with lots of health issues. Comedians like Sarah Silverman and actors including Belzer's co-star on Law & Order SVU, Christopher Maloney, shared their memories of him on Twitter. Belzer was 78 years old. Brittany Griner is returning to the WNBA less than a year after her release from a Russian prison camp. Griner signed a one-year contract with the Phoenix Mercury to continue her professional career. She last played in 2021, averaging 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 blocks per game. Phoenix opens the season against the Los Angeles Sparks on May 19th. You know, she was released back in December, right before the holidays. And as soon as she got home, she said she vowed that she would play again in the WNBA. And it looks like that will at least happen.
Yeah, it'll be great to see her back on the court, certainly. You can play some outdoor hoops today. We have outdoor hockey, so why not hoops? Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Just about anything goes outside today.
Look behind you. Somebody's playing soccer behind you right now.
It's great. Look at
that. I mean, with a giant soccer ball. But, hey, the clouds aren't stopping anybody from getting outside. Our temperatures are warming up. We do have an updated version of the computer models to show you the latest. And the latest does show a little bit more rain for us in parts of the area this afternoon. Not for everybody, but it looks like that rain may slip a little farther south. I'll show you on future casts coming up. Still, of course, on track for record warmth, the highs in the 80s on Thursday. We've not hit 80 degrees yet this year. The last time we hit 80s was in November, so it's been a while, but it looks like we could do it on Thursday. Cooler weekend again, sort of on the same track that we were last week, where it was a little cool to start the week. Our temperatures ramped way up, and then Saturday was chilly, and then we started warming up again. That's exactly what we're going to see this week. Watch the rain, though, up to the north. Just a little bit of light patchy shower activity there that sinks southward. This is going to be 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. Our earlier runs of the computer models really kept it to the counties that border Virginia, and now they're showing it dipping a little farther to the south, all the way through the Triangle area and possibly as far south as Goldsboro during the afternoon. So it could be windshield wipers running intermittent. It's not likely to be enough to really measure much in the rain gauges, maybe a tenth of an inch or so. Right now, this is a look at the tower right behind the studios here in our backyard. Lots and lots of cloud cover. But as I mentioned earlier in the newscast, it's all about the flow. If our flow is coming out of the south, we'll continue to warm up. And it's 58 degrees in the Triangle with temperatures climbing into the mid-60s this afternoon. We've already hit 67 in Clinton. And this is where our air is coming from, zipping right up into the triangle, going to warm things up. It's 55 in Roxborough, 57 South Hill. It's 62 now in Southern Pines. Here comes all the warmth. We're seeing temperatures today above normal, but watch how these colors turn dark red and then pink. So well above normal before we see some cooler air that starts to work its way in starting Friday, and we'll really feel it on Saturday. 57 is our normal high, so that 66 puts it almost 10 degrees above normal for today. 75 on Tuesday, 78 Wednesday, 85 Thursday, and then temperatures start back down the other side. The 78 for Wednesday would tie the previous record set back in 2018. The 85 on Thursday moves well past the previous record of 79 set back in 1980. So we actually have tweaked that temperature down just a touch, but still at 85 degrees, I feel pretty confident that we're going to hit the 80s. So far, we've seen 7 days this month at 70 degrees or warmer. By the end of the week, it'll be 10. And of course, that gets us closer to the record set back in 2017 of 13. It looks like next week, we only have a few more days left of February next week, but it looks like we have a good chance of seeing some of those above normal. So I don't know, maybe we'll tie that previous record of number of days at 70 or warmer. All the warm temperatures are helping the pollen counts to rise. It looks like we'll be high for trees on Tuesday and Wednesday. Again, once we get past Friday, the temperatures drop a bit. We'll drop it to 56 on Saturday with a chance of showers, but we jump right back to 72 on Sunday.
Riding the roller coaster of temperatures again. Elizabeth, thank you. A problem that Five on Your Side told you about last year is getting fixed. This week, NC QuickPass is launching a new site to make paying off tolls more straightforward. Tonight at 5, Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur explains how it works.
And a 6-year-old who brought a gun to school prompts change in Rocky Mount. Coming up tonight at 6, the new agreement to add school resource officers in elementary schools.
You can find a great deal on TVs, appliances, and more this President's Day. And later this week, we expect new figures on consumer spending. Maribel Aber is at the NASDAQ market site in New York with a look at what you can expect.
The stock market is closed today in observance of President's Day, but plenty of economic reports are due out throughout the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we'll have a look at how the real estate market is faring with higher mortgage rates. A report on existing home sales is scheduled, and Wednesday brings the release of the minutes from the last Federal Reserve meeting. And that should offer insight into what the Fed is looking at as it decides its next move on interest rates. The economy will be front and center on Thursday with a report on fourth quarter GDP. It will provide a glimpse of what shape the U.S. economy was in at the end of the year. And Friday is a busy day of economic reports. The latest on personal income and consumer spending are due out. And another look at inflation along with the latest figures on new home sales are expected. As for stocks, after a fast start to the year, the major indices have been losing ground recently. But even despite that, the rebound in tech shares has been sharp this year, with NASDAQ still up more than 10%. And of course, President's Day means sales for many retailers. Deal News says look for specials in everything from electronics to clothing and furniture to large appliances. That's a wrap of business news this President's Day. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ market site in New York.
Americans' credit card balances are at an all-time high. In the last 3 months of 2022, those balances increased from $61 billion to $986 billion. It's a huge shift for Americans who quickly paid off credit card debt during the pandemic. Inflation can be blamed for this reversal, as high prices have led Americans to spend more money. The number of people making payments more than 30 or more days late also increased. Disney character figurines are being recalled due to a choking hazard. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says the legs or arms on the My First Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Buzz Lightyear, and Stitch figurines can come apart. If that happens, it could create a choking hazard if swallowed by children. More than 16,000 of the toys were sold in the U.S. No injuries have been reported, but the company has said it's received 10 reports of pieces detaching.
An outbreak of COVID among bus drivers stalls nearly 24 buses in Orange County. How school officials are addressing the issue and what parents can do to make sure their kids have a ride to school. Plus,
you can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy.
Coming up, America's Got Talent All-Stars begins tonight. But first, we'll share plans to honor one of the show's most inspirational performers. And hear the winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Getting to school got a lot harder than usual for families in Chapel Hill today. More than half of the school transportation staff is out of work for days after a COVID outbreak. WRAL's Laura Levine is in Chapel Hill to tell us about the bus routes that are canceled.
We're here at Smith Middle School, just one of many schools in the district impacted by the driver shortage today. You can see how long the carpool line is as parents drop off their kids, stretching all the way down the road, taking about 7 to 10 minutes to get through. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools has more than half of its bus drivers out of work for the next 3 days. District leaders say 25 out of 42 drivers have either tested positive for COVID-19 or are feeling sick. The following 21 bus runs will be uncovered today, tomorrow, and Wednesday mornings. Parents are asked to make travel arrangements or to give the transportation office a call to arrange a bus ride. The plan is to first cover all elementary schools and then move to middle and high schools. This means middle and high school students may be delayed. The school system is reaching out to staff members who may have CDLs, as well as neighboring school systems and Chapel Hill Transit for support throughout the week. Laura Levine, WRAL News, Chapel Hill.
Starting today, you'll notice weapons detection systems at the entrances to Duke hospitals. Officials say they're designed to detect guns, knives, and other weapons. Those who don't surrender their weapons won't be allowed inside. Duke Health says they want their staff to feel safe. In a nationwide survey last year, nearly half of nurses reported an increase in workplace violence.
Small businesses in Raleigh can apply for their share of more than $3 million in grant funding starting today. The application program for the second round of Oak City Biz Labs funding runs from today through March 12th. Eligible small businesses can get up to $30,000 in funds for assistance that includes collateral enhancements, debt repayments, and equipment purchases.
A lot of startup companies try to get funding from individual investors, so-called angel investors, at the early stage of their business. CNBC's Sharon Epperson takes a look at a program designed to create more equity and opportunity for individual investors.
As a young physician, Dr. Elizabeth Claiborne saw a need for a better way to stop a common condition she saw in the ER.
What this does as a doc is it empowers anyone anywhere to stop nosebleed fast.
She invented this Band-Aid-like device for your nose called Nasaclip and launched the business in 2020. Getting funding for her startup has been a challenge. The year George Floyd was murdered in 2020, black founders got a record 16% of angel investments, up from 0.5% in 2019. But in 2021, that figure fell to just 2%.
Black companies are just not getting the funding. And especially when you look at black women, that's even less.
Jill Johnson runs a nonprofit that introduces black entrepreneurs to angel investors, helping them obtain critical funding, connections, and knowledge.
Capital in the United States of America is so plentiful. We have capital chasing some crazy deals, right? It's so plentiful, yet we have certain groups that have been historically excluded from this access, and we need to change that.
To be an angel investor, you must be an accredited investor with an income over $200,000 if single, $300,000 with a spouse, or a net worth over $1 million, excluding your primary residence. These investments are high risk. More than two-thirds of startups never deliver a positive return to investors.
I absolutely do expect an economic return. I believe in these companies.
Angel investor Gina Nesbeth initially put money into Nasaclip after hearing Dr. Claiborne's pitch, and later invested more. In the past 2 years, she's invested in several startups.
I believe the companies themselves are going to grow, and I believe they're going to hire people of color. And that's putting capital in the hands of people of color. That, to me, is addressing the racial wealth gap.
Through angel investments, Dr. Claiborne has raised over $1 million for her startup so far and plans to have Nasaclip on the market in April.
More than 64 million women in America are going through menopause or are post-menopause. Previously, treatment often included hormone therapy, but that changed after cardiovascular risks were reported. The American College of Cardiology's Cardiovascular Disease in Women Committee found hormone therapy can still be used, but with specific guidance.
It's important if you're going to start hormone therapy to talk to your doctor. It's important to go through your risk. And for women with heart disease, it's really critical to have a frank discussion with your physician about the risks and benefits of starting hormone therapy.
Doctors say that many times women will suffer in silence, and they shouldn't have to. They deserve a better quality of life. Hopefully these changes and guidance for hormone therapy can help with that.
Two more government agencies are investigating Abbott Laboratories over the baby formula debacle. The Justice Department and FDA have also launched investigations. And now the Securities and Exchange Commission is demanding information regarding Abbott's business and related public disclosures. The Federal Trade Commission is looking into companies who bid for formula supply federal program contracts. All of this comes after the business production plant shut down, triggering a nationwide formula shortage. A singer's story and original song on America's Got Talent touched so many people. How the legacy of Nightbird lives on 1 year after her death from cancer.
And a Wisconsin high school now offers an AP African American Studies course. Why educators say the content is important and beneficial when such a class elicits strong feelings and controversy nationwide. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRL News app.
Western Boulevard right now from our tower cam right out behind the station right now. That deck of clouds is just unrelenting today as you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Beloit Memorial High School will make history as the first school in Rock County, Wisconsin to introduce an AP African American Studies program. Destin Howard spoke with a teacher and a student as to why this advanced learning opportunity is a win for all students.
I feel like it's good for us to step out the box and learn about all of our history, not just some of it.
Beloit Memorial High School will be offering an AP African Studies course this fall, making history as the first to do so in Rock County. Senior Chris Woods is happy to see his school making this change.
I actually do wish I got more of this type of education just because the MLK Black History That's good to learn, you know what I'm saying? But it gets repetitive, you know?
The course explores African civilizations, the African diaspora, the civil rights movement, arts, and culture.
Why do you think it's important that, you know, Black and brown kids are getting exposed to, you know, this type of education that they may not have been getting before?
If it were up to me, they'd be getting it from kindergarten on, because multicultural education is important for all students. And I think for any student to be able to see themselves in the curriculum, you have an opportunity for them to really, I mean, buy into the education.
The course is open to 10th through 12th graders. There will be multiple classes, making room for any student who wants to join.
And I feel like it's a good opportunity for the students to learn about it, you know what I'm saying, and take it in, because not every school, not every course goes through all of that. They just tell you the basics.
We believe in inclusivity. We believe in everybody. And when I say multicultural education is for everybody, I mean that. This AP African American Studies is not only for African American students, it's for everybody.
That was Destin Howard reporting. In 1994, Florida became the first state to pass a law mandating the teaching of African-American history in schools. And now with Republican Governor Ron DeSantis at the helm, the state has been at the forefront of efforts to restrict lessons about race and racism in classrooms.
Governor Cooper will honor Black History Month today at the Executive Mansion. He'll honor the state's Black judges and lawyers at an event this afternoon. That's scheduled to happen at 4 today.
Leaving nothing behind, going 100% for it.
And some of the nation's top talent face off against the top acts in the world for a shot at AGT fame. A preview of tonight's finale ahead.
And it's called Broadway in the South for a reason. The great shows coming to DPAC that you won't want to miss.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, some breaking news out of Turkey. Another earthquake has hit the province very near to where that 7.8 magnitude quake hit just 2 weeks ago today. This is the location of the 6.4 magnitude earthquake that hit
Turkey's Hatay province that was devastated by the massive tremor 2 weeks ago. This is the Hatay province where that earthquake hit on February 6th, 2 weeks ago today. The death toll from that one has risen to more than 46,000 people. As far as this new quake that just hit today, we are unsure of any deaths or injuries at this point. This is breaking news, something we'll stay on top of and bring you updates from the Live Center.
The America's Got Talent franchise has seen many remarkable and inspirational performers over the years. Among the most memorable was a singer known as Nightbird.
To California in the summertime.
She really had a beautiful voice. Jane Marcheski's audition has registered well over a quarter of a billion online views worldwide since 2021. The singer died of cancer 1 year ago, and now there's a new effort to honor her memory and legacy.
Hope is the most powerful thing in the world. We want Jane's memory to be living on and lives saved and people impacted. And this album is just the first step in doing that.
The album features 9 songs with audio quotes in between tracks from Nightbird. The album, It's Okay, is available for pre-order and will be released on March 10th. A vinyl version will follow this summer.
The finals of AGT All-Stars begin tonight right here on NBC. A mix of favorites from the U.S. version go head-to-head with top acts from around the world for the title of champion. Mark Barger has a preview.
Detroit Youth Choir was AGT's runner-up in 2019. Tonight, they get another shot.
We're here to accomplish a goal, and that goal is winning.
Self-taught aerialist Aiden Bryant was also a runner-up in 2021.
I'm going to try to up my ante and pull out the biggest tricks I have.
Bryant and the choir are among the 11 finalists for AGT All-Stars, including past winner Cody Lee.
I want to have it all with you.
He's now a regular in Las Vegas.
I love my job. I'm a working man.
6 of the finalists are from outside the U.S., including aerialist Power Duo, who won Philippines Got Talent.
Here, it's a tough competition because all the talents were so great and amazing.
Including teen ventriloquist Ana Maria Marjan, who won Romania's Got Talent.
You don't own me, I kind of do.
I'm bringing a new character, a new song. Everything is a little bit different.
Very much so for the Bello sisters. Their AGT finals performance in 2020 was remote because of COVID.
The warmth of the public and the jury, it's just completely a different feeling, and it's beautiful.
AGT superfans will make the call on the All-Stars winner.
Look, it's the exact same!
But fans have already impacted Avery Dixon.
When somebody even requests something from me, like an autograph, just really warms my heart.
For each of the All-Stars,
leaving nothing behind, going 100% for it.
It's one more chance to shine. Mark Bark, NBC News.
Now is the time to go for it. AGT All-Stars airs tonight at 8 here on WREL. The results will be revealed a week from tonight.
Well, we had an all-star sunrise earlier this morning, but now we've just got, you know, the clouds taking over. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. Is it going to stay this cloudy all afternoon?
It is, and as a matter of fact, the new runs of the computer models are showing a little bit more rain than they were showing earlier this morning. So we're looking out for that. Goldsboro, Durham, Apex, Chapel Hill, all showing cloud cover out there right now. And especially in Chapel Hill, you can see this courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Definitely seeing a few showers out there currently. We take a look at this disturbance that's swinging by. We have a little bit of rain that's showing up right now up into Virginia, and we do have some showers that have been developing all morning long over parts of Kentucky and Tennessee. That's mostly sliding into Virginia, but again, the newest runs of the computer models want to slip that a little bit closer to the viewing area as we get through the next little bit. It's maybe a little bit ahead of the game right now. Most of it, again, is up into Virginia, but is likely to slide down across at least the central to northern part of the viewing area during the afternoon. There's 3 o'clock. And from the Triangle area to Goldsboro through Chatham County and northward, we could see just a little bit of light patchy rain. I think what it will total in the rain gauges is probably a tenth of an inch or less. It's going to be really light as it comes through, but we could be dealing with a little bit of isolated shower activity during the evening commute. There's 5 o'clock, so maybe, you know, windshield wipers intermittent. I don't think it's going to be anything that's terribly heavy, and it slips on out during the evening. We're going to see a cold front that moves through tomorrow. It's not likely to bring very much rain with it, but you can see there right about 12:30, 1 o'clock, just a quick shower with the front itself coming through. It is going to be windy tomorrow with this coming through. Behind it, notice how we clear out nicely, but we're not likely to see a whole lot of sunshine between now and mid to late afternoon tomorrow. Once that front comes through, it's going to be windy. We'll see some gusts tomorrow up to 30 miles per hour, and with that dry front, we'll see fairly low humidity, and the fire danger is likely to be elevated for tomorrow. So it's a day you don't want to do any outdoor burning. I think the day after you'll probably be just fine, and even this afternoon, it's a little more moist out there. Let's jump ahead and talk about Friday. Friday looks dry for us. Once we get past tomorrow, the rest of the week does. But Saturday, we see our next system moving in that starts to bring us some rain by lunchtime into the afternoon. And we may be tweaking that timeline a little bit, but something to think about as you're planning your weekend. Of course, we're looking at a mild afternoon, 66 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, and from the Triangle area northward this afternoon between, say, 3 and 5 o'clock, a few isolated, just light showers. Looking at increasing sunshine here in the afternoon. Tuesday, close to a record Wednesday, well above records on Thursday, and then some showers in the afternoon Saturday. It'll be chilly then with a high of 56, but as soon as that system moves out, our wind shifts again to southwesterly and bumps us right back up to 72.
What an interesting February it's been weather-wise, Elizabeth. Thank you. The D-PAC is gearing up for another great season. We'll share a few of the shows headed to town soon.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we are following for you today. President Joe Biden made a surprise visit to Ukraine this morning. It's his first time to Kyiv, the capital city, since Russia's invasion of the country about a year ago. Biden says his trip was to reaffirm the United States' unwavering support for Ukraine. The president declared Putin's war of conquest is failing.
Activists around North Carolina are meeting virtually today to try to stop big changes to the state's pistol purchase permitting system. A bill that passed the state Senate last week would repeal the system that allows for background checks on private gun sales. Republicans backing the proposal say the process is antiquated and based on a Jim Crow law. Democrats worry that it will allow people with a history of domestic violence to get a gun.
Right now, one of the main streets in Cary is shut down while crews move a historic home to its new location down the block. The Ivy Ellington House's new home will be the site of the old library, making way for a new development downtown. The town expects a section of Academy Street to remain closed at least until 4 o'clock today.
Big shows will hit the stage at the Durham Performing Arts Center for the 2023-24 season. The D-PAC announced the lineup for its new season. The Lion King, Mamma Mia, and Funny Girl are among the shows set to hit the stage. The season begins in October, and it will run through summer of next year. Season seat packages are now on sale. Tickets for individual shows in the series go on sale later this year. Our pet of the day comes to us from ARF. Bo is a 4.5-year-old Mountain Cur. He's intelligent, loving, and protective. Bo is pretty reserved when you first meet him, but once he feels comfortable, he is a total love bug. He's active and will need a fenced-in yard, so keep that in mind. He seems to get along well with other dogs, but is not a fan of cats. If you're interested in Bo and you want to meet him, please contact ARF.
Has China surpassed United States research? That's what President Joe Biden said during a speech. Today on WRL News at 4, we are fact-checking the president with PolitiFact.
NBC News Daily is next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Don't let the clouds stop you out there. It's still quite warm. Have a great day.
Want more news and weather? Coverage continues across all major streaming platforms using the WRAL app and on the radio at 99.3 in Raleigh and 96.5 in Durham.